Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inline UV Spectrometry Monitoring in Cleaning Validation. I'm James Carter, and today we're diving into a topic that, honestly, keeps a lot of us up at night: regulation and compliance. Now, if you're in biopharma, you know that cleaning validation isn't just a box-ticking exercise. It's about making sure your processes are robust enough to satisfy some pretty demanding regulators. We're talking about the FDA in the US, the EMA over in Europe, and of course the ICH Q7 guidelines that sort of tie it all together globally. So what do these regulations actually say about cleaning validation? Well, the FDA's guidance is pretty clear that you need to demonstrate your cleaning processes are effective and reproducible. The EMA echoes that, and ICH Q7, which is more focused on active pharmaceutical ingredients, also expects documented evidence that equipment is clean and free from cross-contamination. But here's where it gets interesting. None of these guidelines prescribe exactly how you have to do it. They leave the door open for analytical technologies, and that's where inline UV spectrometry comes in. Now, you might be wondering, when is inline UV monitoring actually considered sufficient? That's a question I get a lot. The short answer is, it depends on your process, your risk assessment, and how well you can demonstrate that your UV system is as reliable as, say, manual swabbing or TOC analysis. Inspectors are looking for solid documentation, calibration records, validation protocols, and evidence that your system is fit for purpose. If you can show that, you're in a good place. But, and this is important, you've got to be ready to explain your rationale and back it up with data. All right, so let's say you're ready to bring in something like the PX2 UV photometer and the EZ-Cal flow cell. What does compliance actually look like in practice? First off, you need a clear plan for validation and qualification. That means mapping out your user requirements, doing a risk assessment, and making sure every step is documented. And don't forget about electronic records. 21 CFR Part 11 is a big one here. Your data needs to be secure, traceable, and, well, tamper-proof. Best practices? I'd say start with a thorough risk assessment. Identify where UV monitoring adds value and where it might fall short. Then, validate your system. Run it through its paces, check precision and accuracy, and document everything. Traceability is key, especially if you're using electronic records. Make sure your audit trails are enabled and your SOPs are up to date. I'll give you a quick story from the trenches. We were rolling out a PX2 system at a site, and during an internal audit, someone flagged a gap in our documentation. Turns out, our SOPs hadn't been updated to reflect the new electronic data handling procedures. Bit embarrassing, honestly. But we caught it before the regulators did. We went back, revised the SOPs, added detailed instructions for data review and backup, and made sure the system documentation was bulletproof. It was a good reminder that compliance isn't just about the tech, it's about the paperwork too. Now let's talk about what actually works when you're facing an inspector. There have been some really solid examples of regulatory submissions where inline UV spectrometry played a starring role. In one case, a manufacturer used the PX2 and EZ-Cal setup to monitor tank cleanliness in real time. They built a protocol that demonstrated precision, accuracy, and reliability, site-specific, of course, and the regulators were satisfied because the data was rock solid and the process was transparent. What do inspectors want to see? They want evidence. Not just that your system works, but that it works in your environment, with your products and your cleaning agents. Precision and accuracy data, yes, but also reliability over time. If you can show that your inline UV system consistently matches or outperforms traditional methods, you're in a strong position. I remember a European biomanufacturer who ran a comparative study, manual swabbing versus inline UV. They collected data over several cleaning cycles, and the UV system actually picked up residues that swabbing missed. That was a game changer for their regulatory submission. The authorities liked the fact that the company didn't just rely on one method. They compared, they validated, and they documented everything. That's the kind of approach that gets approvals. So that's a quick look at how regulation and compliance shape the adoption of inline UV spectrometry in cleaning validation. It's not just about having the right technology, it's about making sure your processes, your documentation, and your data all line up. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with more on practical applications and troubleshooting tips for inline UV systems. Cheers!